Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. The title of our message this morning is, The Lord is My Shepherd, and That's Enough. If you didn't catch it already by our scriptures that were read in the litany, the fourth Sunday after Easter, today is Good Shepherd Sunday. And our theme comes from the first verse of Psalm 23, which reads, The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not be in want. I invite you to follow the sermon outline that's provided for you and that handout you received when you came in for worship. Again, as we consider our theme, The Lord is my shepherd, and that's enough. Well, any pastor can tell the story. It's late at night. The phone rings. And the voice on the phone says, Pastor, please hurry. Please come to the hospital. Time's drawing close. So the pastor rushes to the hospital intensive care ward, stands by the bed of a person who's not long for this world, takes their hand and gathers the family around the bed. Does the person even know what's going on? Do they understand the words that are about to be spoken? The family looks to the pastor for guidance, for a word of strength and hope. And the pastor speaks these words both in a gentle voice, but with God's strength. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. And the person lying in the hospital bed squeezes the pastor's hand as the concluding words of the 23rd Psalm were spoken. And they say, Amen. A confession of faith stronger than sickness. Stronger than tragedy. Stronger than even death. The Lord is my shepherd. This 23rd Psalm has been with us for over 30 centuries. 3,000 years, people. And it has brought countless gifts of comfort and strength to God's people in various walks of life. Both Psalm 23 and today's Gospel reading, the Good Shepherd Gospel from John chapter 10, tells us the shepherd takes care of his sheep because they are important to him. Yes, for any shepherd, the sheep are valuable. There is means of making a living. There is means of taking care of his family. But being a shepherd is much more than just a job. It's like the truth that being a pastor is much more than being just a job. In fact, the Latin word, pastor, is the word shepherd. Pastor is the Latin word for shepherd. So when you call me pastor, you're calling me your shepherd. The shepherd is with his sheep night and day. He sleeps them out in the field to protect them. He nurses them when they're sick. He calls them by name. They are important to him. As your sermon outline suggests, the number one promise of the 23rd Psalm is this. Almighty God cares for us because we are important to him. And he loves us. Now, this was a new and radical idea. You're so used to this 23rd Psalm. But this was a new and radical idea when this psalm was first written 3,000 years ago. This psalm challenged the common idea that God was far away, that God was frightfully almighty and he was vengeful. No, said the 23rd Psalm, the Lord, our God, is a caring shepherd. Now notice the psalm does not begin with the Lord is a shepherd. It begins with, the Lord is my shepherd. Say that with me, won't you? The Lord is my shepherd. You are dear to Him. You are important and worthwhile. Some years ago, I was visiting in a nursing home. And that's how I'll spend my afternoon after the services today at two different homes. But this day I was in a nursing home and I noticed an elderly man shuffling down the long hallway of the care home. He wore a frayed bathrobe. His facial expression gave the message that he felt he had outlived his usefulness. But then a young nurse's aide called him by name. She was pushing a cart filled with goodies and treats for the residents to give them that day in the afternoon. She called him by name and he leaned against the wall until she caught up to him. Then she stood with him and she whispered something into his ear and a big grin appeared on his face. Then his face showed a strong look of determination as he set out to help her, handing out the snacks and goodies to the residents. Suddenly he was needed. He was useful. He stood taller. He walked faster. Now, I'm sure that job of giving out the goodies took the nurse's aide a longer time than it usually would if she did it by herself. But she couldn't have done more of a loving and caring thing. I admit I watched with fascination what was going on. I could tell the young nurse's aide began to wonder if the elderly man had strength to finish the job. So she pointed down the hallway and said, "We got a long way to go to the end. Do you think you can make it?" And he smiled a wonderful smile and said to her, "Honey, I'd go to the end of the world for you." Psalm 23 declares to each of us, you are important to Almighty God. You are worthwhile. You are His treasure. Don't you ever listen to the lies of this sinful world and the devil that tell you your worth or your importance is measured by things like youthful age or good looks or how much money you make or what kind of job you have or your popularity in school or your grades in school or the sports teams you belong to or having a perfect family or the opinions of others. No, your worth is that you belong to the Good Shepherd. And what makes Him good? Listen to the gospel reading for today from John 10. So Jesus said to them again, "I am the shepherd of the sheep. The sheep hear my voice. But he who is a hired hand and not the shepherd, when he sees the wolf coming, he leaves the sheep and he flees. And the wolf snatches them and scatters them. But I," said Jesus, "I am the good shepherd. And the good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep." Oh, there we go. That's what makes a good shepherd good. He lays down his life for the sheep. Look here. Open your eyes. The good shepherd who lays down his life for the sheep. Now, in biblical times, a shepherd would gather his sheep in a protected area, but they were needed to be a door for him, for the sheep to go in and out of, to go to the wash bathroom, to get some food, back and forth in this opening. But at night, the shepherd would lay down his body over that opening in the sheep pen. And the wolves and coyotes would have to go through him to get to his sheep. They would only get his sheep over the shepherd's dead body. And you've heard me explain it before, but it bears repeating. You've heard someone use the expression, haven't you? "Over my dead body." What that means in the English idiom is this: it's just not going to happen. Like if a crazed man broke into your house, Reuben, and he says, "I'm going down to get your wife and your children." And you, as the God-ordained head of that household, Put yourself between him and your family. Look him in the eye and say with the strength you didn't know you had over my dead body. Will you get my wife and my children? Jesus, our good shepherd, at the cross and at the empty tomb, stood between us and the powers of sin and death and hell. And he said, sin and death and hell, if you want Carol, if you want her, if you want Judy, you're going to have to go through me. Over my dead body, said our Lord. And the powers of sin, death, and hell must have thought they won that battle on the first Good Friday as Jesus died. But it was only Friday. And you know what's coming, don't you? Oh, yes, it may have been Friday, but Sunday was coming. And on Easter Sunday, our Lord Jesus rose in victory over sin and death and the powers of hell. He laid down his life for us and took it up again. He is our good shepherd. The first promise of the 23rd Psalm is this. Almighty God cares for us because we're important to him. And here's the second promise. It's on your outline. He knows our every need. The truth that our good shepherd Jesus knows our every need is seen at least in three particular verses of this psalm. First, verse 2. He leads me beside the still waters. This promise declares that freedom from fear is given to those who are in the care of the good shepherd. The shepherd knows that sheep are afraid of swiftly running waters and rivers and streams. Because you see, water-soaked wool makes the sheep terribly heavy and would easily drown a sheep that's in this moving water. So the shepherd doesn't take his sheep to a river or to a stream that's flowing. He takes them to a pool of still, quiet water. My friends, God knows your fearful running waters. He knows those things that frighten you and drag you down like wet wool in a sheep in a river. But he invites us to come to him that he might lead us to the still waters of his care. What did Jesus himself say? He said, come unto me, all you who are burdened, and I will give you rest. Verse 4 says, your rod and your staff, they comfort me. This declares that both protection and guidance are given to the sheep who are in the care of the good shepherd. The shepherd's rod and staff bring comfort and security to his sheep. What's a rod? Well, a rod is like a bat. A rod is like a bat the shepherd would use to drive away the predators, the coyotes, the wolves, and other such things. The psalmist says, Lord, your rod, it comforts me. But the scripture also says that he has a shepherd's crook, your rod and your staff. The shepherd's staff, unlike a rod, is used to gently guide and direct and take care of the sheep and guide them in the way they should go. So now, God knows our need for protection and guidance. His rod and his staff are given to us today in his holy word, what Martin Luther would call the law and the gospel. His law is his rod. His law is his rod that protects us from sin and the devil, but also corrects us to turn us back when we stray from him. His gospel is like the shepherd's staff. that guides us gently into His arms, that directs us to the cross of Jesus, that shows us His never-ending love and forgiveness. So when the psalmist said, "Your rod and your staff, they both comfort me," the psalmist was saying, "Lord, Your love, Your stick, protects me and guides me. Your staff comforts me and gives me direction. They both give me comfort and security." Verse 5 says, "You anoint my head with oil." This declares that freedom from torment is given to those sheep who put themselves into the care of the Good Shepherd. You see, the shepherd knows that his sheep are easily bothered, easily bugged, pardon the pun, by flies, by mosquitoes, by parasites. So the shepherd carries with him a special ointment, a special oil to rub onto the sheep's nose and their ears and upon their faces to soothe the irritations and to drive the pests away. My friend, God knows our need for freedom from tormentors. Tormentors like the devil and his lies. Tormentors like other people who seem to delight in hurting us or wounding us. Tormentors like our own pasts that haunt us every once in a while. But through the preaching and teaching of God's holy word, through the administration of the waters of holy baptism, through the bread and wine of Holy Communion, God applies to each of our wounded souls the soothing oil of His love, His strength, His forgiveness. Oh, His forgiveness. Maybe you don't have any sins to be forgiven of, but I sure do. Oh, the soothing oil of God's forgiveness that He lavishly pours upon us until we're covered. And covered with the forgiveness of sins won at Jesus' cross, we can confess these words with St. Paul in Romans 8, verse 1. The second reading for my funeral service, St. Paul writes, "There is now, therefore, no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. For when you are in Christ Jesus, you are covered with the oil of His forgiveness, and the tormentors of sin and death and devil are driven far away." Well, the first promise of Psalm 23 is this: God cares for us because we're important for Him. And the second promise is He knows our every need. And a third and final promise for today: God's care never ends. The psalm concludes with these beautiful words. You've heard them. Listen to them again. "Surely goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever." God's care never ends. And when this present life is over, we can look forward to dwelling with our Lord in His kingdom in heaven forever. Jesus puts it this way in John 10, the gospel reading for today: "And I give eternal life to them, and they shall never perish, and no one can snatch them out of my hand." Yes, all we need for this life and the life to come is ours, because the psalmist has said it so well: "The Lord is my shepherd, and I shall not be in want." Well, this truth brings us to the end of the sermon. And back one last time to the sermon's message, the sermon's title. What was the sermon's title today? Take a note. "The Lord is my shepherd." And that's enough. This title came from an event that happened quite a few years ago when I was first starting out as a pastor. Another pastor had the practice of phoning another church member who put the title on the church sign every week for the community to see, much like what Kevin McDowell does faithfully, Sunday after Sunday, for the services that are coming, the sermon title. Well, the week before that pastor's sermon on Psalm 23, he phoned in this sermon title to the man who was just a little hard of hearing on the phone. And he said, "The Lord is my shepherd." And the man on the other end of the phone, who was used to longer titles from his pastor, said, "The Lord is my shepherd. Is that it, Pastor?" And the pastor said, "Yes, the Lord is my shepherd. That's enough." Well, the next day, the church sign read for all the community to see this sermon title, "The Lord is my shepherd. That's enough." And though it wasn't the title the pastor requested, he said, "Hey, I kind of like it." And the message remained for all to see. May we hold on to that truth forever. The Lord is my shepherd. And you know what? That's enough. In Jesus' name, our good shepherd. Amen.